Damn, y'all look so old.
We'd like to do the first song we recorded in 1922. Wonderful little ditty entitled Three Jolly Coachmen as opposed to Three Gay Limo Drivers.
Thank you very much. We'd like to sing a song written by one of Canada's foremost folk singers and songwriters.
You know the greatest songwriter to come out of Canada was?
I thought I did.
It was Duke Ellington.
No.
He wrote Take the Train, eh?
Shut up.
Many people come to our show and wonder what kind of an act this is. This is no act. The only reason we're doing this 41 years later is just to prove to you you're still alive. Somebody's got to do it. Show business, interesting business. The funniest thing I think I ever heard in this business was Robin Williams, when he first met George Burns, asked George Burns what the most singly important thing he could tell him about all his years in show business he had learned. And George Burns thought for a minute and said, always take your wallet on stage with you.
I've got some animal stories here.
Would you like some animal stories?
I like them.
Guy walks up to an airline ticket counter with a German shepherd. Lady said, you can't take the dog on board. He said, it's a seeing eye dog. And she said, oh, that's all right then. Next guy in line just happened to have a pair of shades on, had a chihuahua on a leash. Lady said, you can't take the dog on board you. He said, it's a seeing eye dog. She said, a chihuahua? He said, is that what they gave me? Yo quiero Taco Bell. Two soldiers in an army base find a dead animal in the field. One said it's a mule, one says it's a donkey. They start arguing real heavy about it, and the colonel breaks up the argument and says, you're both wrong, it's an ass. Now get your shovels and bury the poor animal. And they were digging away, and a nurse came by, and she said, hi, fellas, you digging a foxhole? And they said, no. Guy hears a scratching on his front door. Goes to open the door. Nobody there, but he sees a snail lying on his doorstep. Picks up the snail, throws it across the street into the woods. 3 months later, he hears a scratching on his front door. He opens the door, and the snail looks up and says, so what was that all about?
Just cranky, I guess. Okay.
More later.
We'd like to take you back to the year 1963 right now. A year that will live in infamy in American musical history because of this next song. The song contained in its lyrics a four-letter word. A word that in 1963 was considered to be so objectionable, so questionable, so unreasonable, so evil, so wicked, so mean, so bad, so nasty, so vile.
So what?
That the AM radio stations of that day refused to play this song at all. It was played only on FM stations, only late at night, and only in Southern California. So the trio went back into the studio, re-recorded the song, and omitted that questionable word like this. We'd like to recreate the song this evening in its unedited form and show you filth as it was sold to the American public in the year 1963.
Yeah. Shit, you're gonna love this.
If you don't remember anything I say tonight, remember this one. An old man is playing golf. He thinks he hits his ball on the water hazard. He's walking along the edge of the water, looking in the marsh with his club for his ball. And he sees a little frog staring up at him. And the frog blinks and says,
help me, help me, pick me up, please.
Picked up the frog, and the frog said,
oh, thank you. I'm a magic frog. If you turn me over and rub my belly 3 times, I'll turn into a beautiful woman and give you great sex.
He smiled, put the frog in his pocket. He's still looking for his ball. He keeps hearing, mmm, mmm. Pull the frog back out.
The frog said, didn't you hear me? I said, I'm a magic frog. Turn me over and rub my belly 3 times, and I'll turn into a beautiful woman and give you great sex.
He said, oh, I heard you all right, but at my age, I'd rather have a talking frog. Yeah. I got mine. A hunter comes out of the woods with a deer over his shoulder. And he runs right into a game warden, and the game warden said, hey, there's no hunting here today. And the guy said, I haven't been hunting. The game warden says, what's that on your shoulder? And the guy goes, ah!
I get it now. You told that to me over the phone.
That's right. We'd like to do a song that was written in 1955. We'd like to do this song in its complete original lyrics and words. Lyrics and words. To show you, in 43 years, some things don't change that much, except perhaps, color of your hair.
Color? Transparent. Okay. I'll tell you what changes, at least for this group over the past 40 years.
Yeah.
We no longer do acid, we do antacid.
Lots of it.
Man, look at the colors.
This next song may well be the only politically oriented song we have for you all evening. The reason for that is because we just flat out hate politics.
That's true.
We're disgusted with the state of politics today. I mean,
oh, you whore. Vote vegetarian.
Vote vegetarian.
Things just don't seem to change. I mean, look at Richard Nixon, Bill Clinton. Same guy, different hair. But same guy. Richard Nixon was concerned about carpet bombs. Clinton's concerned with carpet burns. Nixon had Watergate. Clinton has waterbed. Nixon took on Ho Chi Minh. Clinton just took on Ho. Nixon had a nickname, Tricky Dick.
In my many years of traveling to Washington, D.C., as opposed to A.C., I have learned but a few things. I have learned if God had wanted us to vote, he'd have given us candidates. I learned the worst thing about political jokes is they get elected. And that's about it, you know. You know how to slow a fast woman down in Arkansas?
No.
Put a governor on her.
Hey, hold it, hold it. Wait a minute. Start acting like Nixon. Are there any Republicans out here tonight at all? There's got to be some Republicans. All right, good. We'll play the next couple of songs a little slower for you.
We recently played in a little town called Warsaw, Indiana, and they have very unusual humor there. Let me give you a couple of these. A lady calls the fire department, lives outside of town. She called the fire department one afternoon, and she said, help, help, send somebody out. I have a fire. They said, how do we get there? And she said, don't you have that big red truck anymore?
What happened to the big red truck?
Then she called the dog pound and she said, help, help, send somebody out. I've got 25 dogs in my front yard. And the guy said, are they mad? And she said, 23 are. That's a floater there.
The half head of lettuce.
Really?
Yeah, I'd like
to have it. Well, yeah, the other one from Warsaw was these two guys walking down a country road and they see this big hole in the, you know, on the side of the road. They see this big hole there and they walk over and they look down this hole. They can't see the bottom. They're going to drop a couple of rocks in. They can't hear them hit the bottom, so they get bigger and bigger. Finally got a rock about like this and dropped it down. Couldn't hear it hit the bottom. So they went around looking for something bigger. One guy comes back with a railroad tie. And he throws that down, and a few seconds later, a goat comes running by and dives down the hole. And about 1 minute after that, a farmer comes down the road and said, anybody see my prize goat? He was tied to a railroad tie.
Yeah, Warsaw, they had the half-head lettuce.
You hear interesting jokes on the road. All this stuff is stolen, by the way. this guy in Twin Falls, Idaho, goes into a supermarket. And he says, I'd like to buy a half a head of lettuce. And the clerk says, well, I don't know if I can sell it to you that way. I'll have to go ask the manager. So he walks in the back, not realizing the guy's following him. And he gets in the back and he says to the manager, he says, some ass up front wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. And then he sees the guy out of the corner of his eye and he said, and this gentleman wants to buy the other half. About 15 minutes later, the manager corners this guy and said, I like the way you think. You're very quick. He said, where are you from? He said, I came down here from Canada. He said, what'd you leave Canada for? He said, oh, Canada's just full of whores and hockey players. And the manager said, hey, wait a minute. My wife's from Canada. He said, oh, what team does she play for?
That's Twin Fall humor, boy.
We started this group, we graduated from college in 1956 with business degrees, and what else do you do with a business degree? In 57, we became a Calypso group. This is true. This is history lesson number one. We actually started as a Calypso group, and that's how we got the name Kingston, from Kingston, Jamaica, a place to which not a one of us on stage has ever been to this day. But we started playing Calypso, and right away we noticed that other people sang Calypso better than us. And we tried for a while to sell ourselves as an albino steel band. No. But this next song we recorded in 1960, and to show you how strange the times were, in 63 they wouldn't play Greenback Dollar because it had Damn on it, but they played this song on the radio in 60. I guess they really weren't listening. We like Calypso music because it had several different meanings, which you'll see, I'm sure. But about 2-3 years ago, we were on a cruise ship in the Bahamas, and we stopped off in Nassau at a private club some friends of ours from California had invested in, and they had hired an old man to come in and play the old Calypso music instead of reggae, which most people were doing at the time. And he played this next song while we were having lunch, and I couldn't resist it. I got up and walked over and said, say, where'd you learn that song? And the guy said, oh, off an old Kingston Trio record, man. The gigantic balcony. He told me the little story. He said he had a rock band playing a concert there one night. The last four people with seats were about two-thirds of the way back on the main floor, right in the middle, and he shined his light in the row there, and there was a fellow laying across all four seats. And he said, sir, you'll have to move. Those seats are taken. The guy raised his head and said, said, sir, those seats are occupied. You'll have to move right now. And once again, the fellow answered with, sir, where'd you come from?
The balcony.
We'd like to introduce you to a couple of people who travel with us. On bass, a young man whose mother lost him to us in a poker game in Vegas 10 years ago. When he's not working with us, he lives in Seattle, Washington, where he plays jazz, tapes. One of the finest jazz tape players I ever met. A He has his own jazz group called the Paul Gabrielson Trio. I believe he even has some records for sale. He's got a nice little group. Been with us for 10 years. He's always passed on some wonderful things about the music business to me, because I know very little about it, actually. And he told me that the definition of perfect pitch is being able to throw a banjo down a mine shaft and miss all the accordions. He told me that the only difference between a large pizza and a musician is a large pizza will feed a family of four. Mr. Paul Gabrielson on bass. An electric viola, an electric Kenner guitar, two rather unusual instruments played by a rather ordinary man. A man who used to have his own acid bluegrass group in Wisconsin called the Foggy-Minded Mountain Boys. A man who once told me that the best way to keep two flutists, or flautists, if you will, playing in tune was to shoot one. Told me the difference between a violin and a viola is a viola burns longer. And he told me that God gave drummers 25% more brains than horses so they wouldn't poop during the parade. Everybody knows a drummer. Go lay that one on. Him. 23 years with our group, our very dear friend, Mr. Ben Schubert. Then we have this. He was just here. George Grove joined our group 22 years ago, the first guy to sing with us who majored in music. He majored in piano and trumpet. It's really been handy. He's been a member of the Matt Nashville scene for years. He was a producer, director, singer, picker, engineer, male model, and pimp. Oh, shrimp, I'm sorry. I would like to have you meet a man who certainly, above all else, needs absolutely no introduction whatsoever.
Thank you. We are absolutely thrilled to be with you here. This is our first night of a two-night tour. We don't like to overextend anymore. We have a day off tomorrow, so that kind of breaks up the routine. We'll be driving down to Chester, New York tomorrow. We don't know where it is, so it I commend the powers that be for revitalizing the Opera House, for getting new seat covers. We would like to suggest to them that perhaps heat might be a good I had dinner this evening over at the Governor's Inn, and I got to tell you, it was pretty darn spectacular. Real good food over there. See, you can tell the truth, and it just isn't that damned entertaining. I'd like to thank Bob for the wonderful introduction. Bob Shane is a man about whom I say, he ain't my brother, he's just heavy. We travel around the country about 30 weeks out of every year as the Kingston Trio. About 6 months ago, we tried it as the Pointer Sisters. But and during those 30 weeks, we sing as many of the old songs as we can that make this indigenously a Kingston Trio performance. Songs like MTA, Tom Dooley, Scotch and Soda, Worried Man, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, Reverend Mr. Black, feelings.
Feelings.
God, I hate that song.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But every now and then we put in something, excuse me, I put in something new. Neither Bob nor Nick have the temperament or the memory for anything new. They're both backstage right now with the nurse. Believe me, that has a different connotation today than it did 40 years ago. By the way, several people asked us if we were going to have any CDs for sale after the show, and indeed we will, right out in the lobby. I know you passed some tables out there. One was particularly barren looking. That's where I will be after the show, and Paul. So we have some Kingston Trio things, and I'm very proud to say I have my own solo CD out there. I worked on it for many years through two different marriages. It's called In the Middle of a Life. For a very good reason. Well, Beavis, where's your friend?
Well, it's a long story. A long and ropey story. Oh, June.
This next song was written by Billy Ed Wheeler. Billy Ed wrote a lot of songs with this group back in the old days. Songs like Jackson, Cold Tattoo, Desert Pete, The Reverend Mr. Black, Feelings, and... this next song, which tells the story of a lovely lady whose name is, and the song is simply entitled, Anne.
I'd like to dedicate this song tonight to my little daughter, Annie. She just turned 13 years old last week, and I wasn't able to be home for her birthday party. Rats. So I just sent she and her boyfriend to Hawaii for a couple of weeks.
History lesson number two. We started playing Calypso, and very shortly thereafter, we went over to what we call folk-oriented material. We, as many other groups, were inspired by the Weavers, whose success with Gordon Jenkins Orchestra with Goodnight Irene and Top of Old Smokey was very interesting, which they got gold records for. But we've never called ourselves folk singers. We've called each other a lot of things, but not folk singers. We started by putting out our first album in 1958, and on the album was some folk-oriented material, some calypso music, some sea chanties, an off-Broadway show tune, and a blues number. And a couple of disc jockeys in Salt Lake City picked up on this next song we're going to do for you and started plugging it so hard that it became a single. The single sold 3 million records in 2 weeks, became number one in the country overnight, and a fellow from Capitol Records came to us with a large briefcase full of money. And he said, "Here, you're folk singers." And we said, "You bet your ass we are." We majored in business. 1958 was also the very first year of the Grammys. And they wanted to give us a Grammy for this song, but they didn't have a folk singing category the first year. Brilliant. They added it in 1959. We actually won the very first Grammy ever given for folk presentation in 1959. Thank you. More interesting than that, in 1958, they found part of our business that was dying in sales, and so they used us to help part of this business, and by giving the group you see before you the very first Grammy ever given for Best Country and Western Performance. Whoopee! Yeah. So here we are, folks, the Hawaiian Calypso folk group who saved country music.
Yeah. You guys have been just wonderful. It's been great being up here in the Northeast, and we're staying at the Three Chimneys in Durham.
Three Chimneys.
And it's a wonderful place. If you ever get a chance to eat out, go there, have a wonderful food. And if you ever have a chance to sleep out with a friend of yours or anything, they got wonderful rooms.
Remember, always go to bed with a good book or somebody who read one.
Tom Dooley sold by far the most single record for the Kingston Trio over the almost 42 years we've been together. But the most requested song over that period of time was not even sung by the trio, but by Bob Shane all by himself.
What? As you grow older a little bit, you find that there are very definitely priorities you must pay attention to. And here's a couple of priority stories for you. They both came from Reader's Digest. That doesn't make them good, you know. A guy is sitting alone in a bar, nobody in the place, and a woman walks in, sits down three stools from him. She's the most beautiful woman he's ever seen in his life. And he's just staring at her, and she catches him peeking at her, and she said, "Sir, for $50, I'll do anything you want, but you have to tell me in three words or less." He says, you'll do anything for me for $50, and I'll have to tell you in three words or less? And she said, "That's right." And he said, "Paint my house." Beautiful color, too. And the other one's about a fellow that goes to the doctor with the problem he's having with his sex life with his wife. The doctor examines the fellow and says, "Well, I can cure you in two different ways. One is through drug therapy, which takes 3 weeks and costs $10,000. Or I can perform an operation tomorrow, and you'd be ready to go the next day. It would cost $30,000. I suggest you discuss it with your wife." The guy comes back the next day, and the doctor says, "You talking over with your wife?" He said, "Yeah. We decided to redo the kitchen." And here's a new one for you. This is relatively new. I heard this a few weeks ago. Fellow walks into a bar and he says, "Give me 5 shots of Crown Royal. Put them all in a row." The guy pours 5 shots of Crown Royal in a row. And the guy slams 1, he slams 2, he slams 3. Bartender said, "Hey, that's expensive sipping whiskey. What are you drinking it that way for?" And he slammed the 4th one. He said, "You'd drink it this way if you had what I got." The bartender says, "What do you have?" And he slammed the last one and said, "$0.75." I bet that was true originally. I live outside of Phoenix, Arizona. And there's an interesting thing. You can get in the car and you can drive 5 hours to Las Vegas. And a lot of people do regularly. And it's because there's a lot of retirement community and people want to spend their retirement money, I guess, and they make little trips all the time. And this is an interesting story about a fellow sitting in his house in Phoenix, Arizona at 10 o'clock at night. The computer's off, the TV's off. He's just sitting there thinking. And he hears a voice as if from on high that says, "Sell the house, take the money, go to Las Vegas." 3 nights in a row, he keeps hearing the same voice say the same thing. It's about 10 o'clock at night. He gets so nervous, he sells his house, takes all the money, flies to Las Vegas. As he gets off the airplane, the voice says, "Take the money, go to the Tropicana Hotel." Of course, that's the closest one of the airports, so he just takes off and goes to the Tropicana Hotel. He walks in the front door, and the voice says, "Take the money. Go to the roulette wheel directly in front of you. Put all the money on 17 now." And he runs over and puts all this money on 17. The ball whirls around, drops in 21. The voice says, "Shit." I like that.
As we crossed the border yesterday, we saw the sign up. It had the motto of your state, the Take It For Granted State.
Well, Florida is the catatonic state.
Several years ago, we were contemplating doing a reunion show of the members of the Kingston Trio, which included, at that time, Dave Gard, who has since passed away, and Bob and Nick and myself and John Stewart. And one of the things that we all agreed was that we would find the best songs that we could find individually, bring them to the table, and see which ones we were going to record. And two of the songs that were brought to that miasma were both written by Brownie McIntosh, who entertained you earlier. I think we've all known Brownie individually or collectively for somewhere between 10 and 20 years. That antacid makes the difference between 10 and 20. And we have asked if they would come out this evening and do the song with us, do Brownie's song, Rolling the River. So, Brownie and Julie.
Remember one thing in life, any one thing.
Let's go. You know, with you here on stage tonight, somewhere there's a village missing their idiot.
Thank we do you. Have to run back to the hotel before they turn the Coke machine off. We do have a lot of fun, and that's our motto has always been, too much fun is not enough.
Right, it should be everybody's
fun. And my personal motto has been always been, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro.
Your song called California or I'm Going Home, and that's what we're going to do.
I wander, I know I'll always find a welcome at the end of every journey. Every friendly people waiting. California would not hold me, though I loved her timber mountain, worked her fields and worked her orchard, up and down her central. The golden Utah Valley. Now watch the rivers gently glide. I wave my hand a friendly peace. California would not hold me, though I love her timber mountains, worked her fields and worked her orchard, up and down her central valley.
Thank you.